Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake at their surging. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you, Tom. I'll come back and use that in a little bit. Keep Psalm 46 open. The last few weeks, as we've done this series, I've shown some illustrations that I had found. They've all been by one artist that did a really good job taking passages out of Scripture and really just forming something out of that into a beautiful representation. We're going to do something similar to that today, only it's with a different artist, and this time it's going to be in song. So I want you guys to keep Psalm 46 open, kind of scan through the verses we just read, and just listen to the words of this song as well. And I would just encourage you to, if you need to close your eyes or whatever, but just focus on who God is revealed to be in this psalm and in the song that we listen to here as well. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Oh, come behold the works of God, the nations at his feet. He breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the wars to cease. Oh, mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariots with fire. Lord of hosts, you lead us, with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? Fierce and great, you lift your voice to speak. The earth, it bows, and all the The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control. The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control.
You guys know I love music. I love, I feel a true artist is one that can take you and point you to God in a way that magnifies the word. And that song, I'll be honest with you, it's actually, this is a few months back, it's what spawned this series. I was listening to it and I was thinking about I played it over and over, and as I listened to it, my soul was so lifted up. Of just, you know, singing along with it, and not just that song, any song really that has to do with when you're glorifying God and you're singing and you're really kind of repeating reflections out of the Word, you're repeating verses or something. There's something in your spirit that just lifts, because we were made to be that way. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about we need more of that, and how just the cares of this world dissipate and disappear when we look at God. So that is in many ways the inspiration of what started this. I didn't know how I would teach on that at the time, but I wanted us to be able to take a fresh look at God, to recenter and to look. There's a popular radio station many of us listen to that, you know, they talk about positive and encouraging and playing music that way for Christians. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but when I hear the songs that glorify God, that's when I'm really encouraged. And the ones that talk about us and focusing on me, I just kind of, blah, it doesn't do that much for me. And maybe that's just me, but I really do think it comes down to we were designed, we were made to praise. We were made to glorify God. And when we get into that, it's really exciting. This study we've been going through has been, for me, it's been a deep study, diving into Hebrew. And actually, I was a little bit embarrassed this last week as a thought came to my mind, and that was the fact that the normal Hebrew child growing up, it wouldn't have been a deep study at all. He would have just read the names of God and, oh, yeah, they called him El Shaddai here and Yahweh Nisi here. And you know, so we have a lot of work to do to uncover as we look. But nevertheless, I hope you guys have been excited with this study with me as we've been doing it. Last week, as you guys know, we went through and looked at the first part of this series of Yahweh and looking at how God has revealed himself using that name. And I was just wondering from any of your perspectives, you know, if you remember, what did that imply? How did that impact you this week? How did it impact your prayer life? How has looking at the name Yahweh impacted your walk with the Lord this last week? Pretty profoundly. Well, I know Ed used it in his prayer, so it's probably helping there. It's been interesting. Last week, I left you guys hanging on the application point. You got the slides up, Carolyn, yet? We're getting there. I left you kind of hanging on application. We came to the point of the end of all this where we looked at Yahweh. And Yahweh, before Yahweh, as you remember, God revealed himself as Elohim. And sometimes there was compounds, just shortened El, like El Shaddai or El Olam or El Roi. But they came from this name Elohim, which was just the supreme sovereign one. But when God, with Moses on Mount Sinai, he said, I am now going to be known by the name Yahweh. People are going to start calling me by this. And people had up to that time called him Yahweh, so this wasn't like the first time he came up with that name. But this is where he said, I'm going to be known by that. And what it was who remembers what Yahweh implied? It came from another, is the third person of something else. Does anyone remember? This is a test. See if anyone was listening last week. He is what he is. Good job, Sophia. He is what he is. So God said to Moses when he said, Moses said, what should we call you? And he said, my name is I am. And he said, I'm going to be known by Yahweh. Well, Yahweh comes from the third person of that same Hebrew word for I am. So God says, my name is I am, or I will be what I will be. And you are to call me he is. And it's basically us recognizing that God is the self-defining one. When you call God Yahweh, you're saying, God, you get to call the shots. You are the one who does what you want to do. You will be what you will be. You are the great I am. It is a reflection of that. So God is saying, I'm going to define myself as the one who defines all. And what I do is definition. Anything I do is definition for what is right. So that's what we saw of this God. And so we come to this end, and go ahead and go to that next slide, Carolyn. And this is where I left you kind of hanging. As for application points, I said, fill in the blanks. And I said, look upon him. And I know that was a little tongue-in-cheek, and I apologize if it kind of left you guys hanging. But I was really hoping, and I still am hoping, that through all this, as you look to God and you look to his character, that fills in. And it may not give all the answers that you always need for the place you are in life, but it will change your perspective on it. And as we look to him, we are told that we are changed and we are made more like him. I don't know if I said this yet, but I'm actually in step with you guys in this series. I haven't studied too far ahead. I'm discovering as we go as well. I've studied a little bit ahead. Like, I know a little bit of where we're going next week in Adonai and when we get to Yeshua and what we look at with Christ in that way, but not a whole lot. I've intentionally reserved a lot of the study so that I'm studying it with you guys. And that's why it's really, if you have that handout in your bulletin, study it this week, because we're all studying together, and God uses our gifts to bring that together when we meet back on Sunday. But because I'm doing that, I have to wonder if you guys struggled with some of the same things that I did this week, and actually the past couple weeks. And basically the fact that we've looked at God being so big that he's this huge God, and we elevate him and our hearts praise him, but the application is hard. Has anyone else felt that way? What do I do with that? Has he just become so big that it's hard to bring him personally into your life? I mean, go to the next slide there, Carolyn. We looked at these pictures that were illustrations of how God has been represented throughout the Old Testament of just this, wow, he's so unlike us and so big and so like a being unlike anything we could imagine. And I this last week was really struggling with, okay, well, he's so big. How can he really like care about my day to day? And so I realized we run a risk with a series like this. As we look at this, and I was reminded in some conversations this week too, that it can get so big and so out there that we don't know how to apply it to our life. And one of the things that we can do when that happens is we can try to, he's so big, he's so great, I need to bring him down into a compact form. I need to get him down into something that I can manage because that is too much for me. I need to get him down into a box. There was a slide. Let's see, go to the next slide, Carolyn. I showed you this quote that was from Mike Erie's book, which I've quoted a bit here this series, The Jesus of Suburbia, but I'll read it again. It's always been the temptation of the people of God to tame him. He increases mystery, we desire to remove it. He introduces paradox, we seek to solve it. We, like the Israelites before us, want God who is understandable, predictable, and safe. We want a God who makes sense and operates according to generally accepted accounting principles. But instead, we meet Yahweh and his son, Yeshua, who don't play by our rules. And this came out of a section where he's talking about how this very thing is something we do. God is so big, so grand, so out there that we, in order for us to deal with it, we box him up and we bring him down into our level. Mike actually believes with some scholars, and you guys can do your own study on this, but he believes that when Israel made that golden calf, remember Moses went up on Mount Sinai and they made a calf and worshiped to it, and you're like, seriously? You just saw God part the Red Sea. Now you're worshiping a calf? A lot of scholars actually believe they were trying to make something that was in honor of God. Now you read it, and it says, like, at best, I mean, he was with their gods from Egypt, but Aaron said, tomorrow we're going to worship this calf, and it's going to be a festival to Yahweh. That's what he said. It's going to be a festival to the Lord. So Mike believed in this book that Israel was doing the same thing. They saw God terrifying on a mountain and saying, don't you dare make an image of me because you'll worship it. But they said, sorry, we can't handle that. The mountain's too big. Let's just make us a calf. We'll say that that's God and we'll worship it. And so that's probably what they're doing, and it infuriated God, as we know. The rest of that story doesn't end too well for those people. The thing is, when we try to make when we try to take God and put him down in a box, we usually create him out of the circumstances of our own life. Or let me say it this way. We create him in the way that we've seen him act in our own life, or maybe in lives of people we trust really well. But we don't let a lot. You know, someone stands up in church and says, I saw God do such and such. And the cynics in the audience go, well, yeah, maybe. Or, I've never seen that. Or, well, that sounds good. I'm sure that happened. But you're kind of rolling your eyes inside. So when life circumstances become too big and we can't handle it, what we do is we say, well, I'm just going to, the God I know is this. And we put him in this box. Go ahead and go to the next slide here. I found this. I thought it was funny. If you can't read that, it's a box and it says, I don't fit in your box, signed by God. And this is just the truth. This is how God has chosen to reveal himself throughout the scriptures. The name Yahweh itself means there is no box that could ever contain me. Like, I can continue to reveal new stuff for all eternity, and I'm never going to stop. And that's who I am. But we run this risk of trying to bring God down. And so, I guess getting back to that, how we create God out of how we've seen him act in our circumstances, the way that I wanted to focus on it, the way that we can counteract that is by looking at how he has shown himself throughout scriptures. Because when we get God down in a box and he's only based and he's only as small as we've seen him act, he's not going to be big enough. And the reason God, all throughout scriptures, we have these commands, like the next one, the next slide here, that tell us, remember the works of the Lord. Recount his deeds, his miracles. You see it all throughout. And so I thought today we were going to do something a little bit different again. And I want us to do a little exercise that will help us to do this, to look at how we've seen God act in the scriptures and to burn that into our memories. And even if we haven't seen him act that way in our life, that we can look and say, well, by faith, I see God acted this way, and so that's my God. That's, I saw him act this way. So we're going to do this in a very real-time fashion that I have no idea if this is going to work or not. But I want to break everyone into groups, and we're going to do some group study. So I need to figure out how to do this, but I'm going to try to break everyone into groups of about 10. Well, I need 10 groups, and I'm guessing there's about 100 people in here. So 10 groups of 10. Why don't you guys try to get close to the people, maybe form a group close by, get in a group of about 10 people, and then we'll kind of do a count and see if there's too few or too many, we'll adjust from there. But we need to get it to 10. That's the magic number. So do that, and then I'll give you some instructions. Pay attention to what number you are. So we're going to go, you guys are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you guys are 10, okay? So take your number and look up here, and this is the passage you're going to look at. What you're going to want to do is look through the whole passage and look at the works of the Lord here. And I'm going to want... out of your group, you can either have one spokesperson or a couple of you can stand up. I don't care. We're going to have a roving mic that we'll take around. And you're going to stand up and you're going to declare the works of the Lord, of how his character is shown in that passage. So we'll give you about 5 minutes to do that.
You have a little more time. Group one, do you guys have stuff that you can share yet? Well, you're group two.
All right, it sounds like you need a little more time.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Am I on? I think so.
Group one. Okay. We are group one. We are
all right, group one's going.
Group one. I'm looking at the book of Psalm, chapter 61. Verse 7 says, 66, verse 7. He rules by his power forever, and his eyes observe the nations. He said, do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. So when I see, or when we see what is happening in the world today, all over the world, all the news, all the informations, whatever that we see happen around us, the first thing that comes to mind is there still God? Why will God allow what is going on continue to go on? But from this portion of the scripture, he says his eyes observes everything that is happening all over the nation. So if God has not, if things have not changed, it's just up to him. He knows why he continues to observe things. To the time when he chooses to react, probably he will act. But as for to think, if God is not seeing what is happening, that's a big lie. God is watching what is happening in our world today. Amen?
Amen.
Anything else? All right.
Just real quick, it says, he has refined us as silver. That means we're still in a work, and he is our creator. And you know, I'm encouraged by that because I've been refined a lot. And but he refines us as silver. He wants to make us into something worthy of his... what? Worthy of his love, yes. Thanks, Pat.
All right, we're going to go to group two here. We got to keep moving, I guess. Oh, Anne's going to punch me in the face if I don't.
Verse 13 says, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vow. So God needs our prayer and intercession. God deserves our worship unto him. We will go into the house of the Lord with praises, with thanksgiving, with joy, and worship God our Lord.
All right, Psalms 78.
God split the Red Sea, and the Israelites walked across it on dry land. He led them by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And out of a rock, streams flowed in the desert.
Well, the streams continued to flow. There was water from the rock, but the people wanted bread and meat. And he commanded the clouds, and he directed the winds, and he fed the people, and they still demanded more. And so he was angry with the people, and he killed the people. And after he killed the people, they changed, and then they went right back to wanting more.
We found the power when he redeemed them from their foes. He performed many signs in Egypt, the plagues, I didn't list them all, delivering his people from Egypt, which I just said, drove out the nations in the promised land. He punished them through the exile when they turned from him. And we had 72 verses, so we didn't get through all of them.
Real quick before that, so just pause. This is great. You look at something like that, and you can see, okay, I'm really dealing with, is God going to provide for me? You look at what God has done. God may have never supernaturally provided for you in your entire life. You might now have seen that. And that's why if you only looked at him in your own circumstances, he would be too small. But you look at, wow, he provided manna in the desert. He provided birds. If he could do that, he can provide for me. Okay? Let's go to group three.
Okay, so ours was Psalm 90, which a lot of us were like troubled because it's talking a lot about God's wrath. And so you're like, oh, geez. but one of the things that stood out to me was verse 10, and it says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And I was just thinking about like all of the like wrath it was talking about, and just that we have to look at it, like you were saying, we can't try and put him in a box and that everything is shiny and perfect through our human eyes, that like he knows the greater path, and so eventually, yes, there has to be an end, but we have to trust in him and knowing that like he knows what's going to happen in mm-hmm. the greater scheme of the world. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. You can just, well, yeah, after you're done, Mike.
Yeah, I saw that, like in verse 1 and then verse 14, the Lord has been, they recognize that the Lord is their dwelling place throughout all time for them. And therefore, even if he's talking about, you know, we are consumed by your anger. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. You turn men back to dust. In spite of all these things, we recognize you are our dwelling place. And because of that, then, like in verse 14, we know that you have unfailing love in spite of all this. And so satisfy us with your unfailing love that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days.
All right, let's go back to group four. Oh, you got something too? Go ahead.
Oh, at the very beginning it says, right after what Mike read, it said, before the mountains were born or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, which to me shows his power and just unfathomable, you know, power. So anyway.
That's good. That's the Song of Moses, that one. I think that's one of the only ones he wrote. Let's do just like one or two from each group. We got to keep moving here.
Well, ours was Psalm 104, and it says God wraps himself in light, and he's clothed in majesty and strength, and he determined the borders of the heavens. He makes fire and wind and clouds, and all his are his servants. And then he set the borders of the ocean and said, you will go no more. This is where you stop, you know. And that's, I mean, this is an amazing psalm. But he provides water and food and work for people and for animals. He knows how long they're going to live, and he just determines, he provides the food, and then we eat when he provides it.
Something really interesting in this psalm is it begins with, praise the Lord, O my soul, and it also ends with that same statement. And throughout this psalm, it's so interesting because you can really see how he just is the creator of all things, and he's dominant over all creation in the world, and we just need to praise him and give our praise to him. So, yeah.
Thank you, Julia. All right, we're coming up here. Where are we at, five? Group five? All right, Nathan.
So I have a lot of notes here that I'm supposed to summarize. And the psalm we have was Psalm 105, and it was kind of a summary of God's keeping his promises to the Israelites. He made a promise to Abraham, and he kept it through Jacob, Moses, Joseph, all the way up to where they were now as a kingdom. And so, this kind of is, I'm summarizing a summary, and God used the plagues of Egypt. He guided them through the wilderness and didn't let any affliction come from any of the other nations. So, in essence, it's really a testament to God's keeping his promises to the Israelites.
That's another long one. Okay, we're going to keep moving here. You guys are next?
Ours was Psalm 106, and there's a lot in there as far as the number of verses, but what we pulled out of here to start with, he actually asks the question, who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord or can show forth all his praise? Well, we don't know quite sure how the Israelites could speak to all the mighty deeds because they were so back and forth, being unrighteous, being chastised, being made righteous, then going unrighteous again. It was a joke. But then we come down to 43, and it says, many times he would deliver them. They, however, were rebellious in their counsel and so sank down in their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry.
Very good. Yeah, some of these are very long. I know that, but it's great. You just see, I mean, turns out he has a lot of works.
Ours was Psalm 107. God does a lot for us and for them, those people that he leads. He gathered them, he delivered them, he satisfied their needs, and he blesses them.
I'll give one more. I wrote on Psalm 90:16, March 28, 1985, for he has shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. Personal testimony.
He satisfies our hungry soul, and he fills us with what is good.
Very good.
Well, the theme of Psalm 107 is that God delivers men from their troubles. And there's about 20 different passages in there on how he does it.
That's very good. All right, group eight. We're looking at Psalms 111.
Well, we had Psalm 114 and 111.
Uh-oh. Huh? 111. Hey, declare whatever you read. That's fine.
Hey, who wants to talk about 111? Because I did 14.
One 111 was really great. I'm just going to read a couple of phrases throughout, and then I have a little something I will say about them. But is great are the works of the Lord. Splendid and majestic is his work. His righteousness endures forever. His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He gives food to those who fear him. And we're not talking about physical food, but spiritual food. He remembers his covenant forever, made known his people the power of his works, and he gives them the heritage of the nations. His truth and justice, his precepts are sure, his truth and uprightness. He sent redemption, ordained his covenant forever. He's holy and awesome. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and he gives good understanding to those who do his will. And I was thinking about today and what we see in our country and our world, and it's real encouraging to think about how he's in control and his promises are true, and nothing is going to happen because he's in control. Nothing will happen that he hasn't ordained. So anyways, that was what was special to me. Anybody else?
Very good. Okay, so group nine, I think you guys ended up with Psalms 113, correct?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
We had Psalms 113, and it only had nine verses, but it was the last three that actually talked about God's works. But what really stood out to me and to the rest of the group here was that the key word is in verse 6, I think, where he stoops. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops to look down on us? Because there is absolutely nothing that we can do to really understand God. And in the next three verses, the other key words are, he lifts us, he raises us, and he settles us. So no matter how big he is, he literally stoops because he cares so much for us and our needs and our wants.
Very good. Very good. Molly will be representative of group 10.
We had Psalm 114, which was pretty fitting because it talks about when the house of Jacob was taken out of the people of strange language. So that's the group we had. You planned that, didn't you?
Nope.
So it says that the sea looked and fled and the Jordan turned back. The mountains, they skipped like rams, and the hills like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, and at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, and the flint into a spring of water.
Very good. So as you see these things, this is something we need to do a lot. I very grossly misjudged how much time that would take, so we're not going to be able to do the next part. You can go to the slide. This is what I was going to do. But you guys can do it on your own, really. I just took what's in your handout, these names of Yahweh, and I was going to do the same thing in your same groups. Now look at those passages and see how he revealed himself. But you'll have to do it on your own. But the idea is God shows up and he says, I know that I've revealed myself as Elohim, as this great, big, grand God. And so now I'm going to start showing myself as Yahweh. I'm going to demonstrate my character. You guys are going to get to know me more by what I do. And so when he does that, usually when he would act, a name would be attached to it. Kind of like, you know, if God were to, build a bridge, you'd say the God that built the bridge, In these cases, you know, Yahweh Yireh was something that was given when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac. And right up to the moment he's going to do it, God provides a lamb. And he says, oh, wow, you are Yahweh Yireh. You provided. And it's funny, that's actually even before God spoke to Moses. So people were already doing this. He was making himself known as Yahweh before that. But all of these, if you look at those passages, which I really encourage you guys to do, they're in your handout. Look at how God revealed himself. But my encouragement to you also is to pull out the application for yourself. Instead of coming on a Sunday morning and just hoping that you can get an application to take with you this week, there's no way any of us as teachers or preachers could ever do that. And that's why you have your word. Just one thing I want to close with to encourage you that direction this week. I was talking to a friend of mine that I'm going to see if he can come and speak next month. He's a missionary in India, and he's visiting here right now in the States as he's raising some more support. But he's currently preaching at three churches on each Sunday morning, and he's looking to start a fourth, and he's also teaching at a Bible college, so he's pretty busy. Actually, he's somewhat affiliated with us. His wife runs a Lifelight Pregnancy Center over in India that the Blaines helped start. So it's kind of neat. Their names are the Chatlas. But anyways, as I was talking to him, I was just saying, well, you know, what's the demographic of your people? You know, he's like, well, I have to give really simple, basic messages. And he says, it's really hard. I was like, well, why? And he said, well, none of them can read. So they only remember what you tell them. If you tell them a verse, that's it. He said, if I go too deep, it's farmers and it's rural people. They just won't come back. And I was thinking about, wow, how spoiled we are just because we can read. Like, you guys have the Word of God. I mean, I just picked 10 Psalms. You guys can go through the Psalms and read this stuff and say, wow, look at who he is. And again, the more I look and the deeper I look at this, I'm like, how could I ever fit him in a box? The way God has revealed himself. And when I feel like there is no application for my life, that this God's too big for me, I don't look at those passages where he says, he stoops. He comes down. He reaches down. And he interacts with us. Now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at Yeshua and how he sent his son and how really that was God saying, I need to interact with you more, and you need a face-to-face, a real human representation. So he stepped into a human body for us. We'll look at that. But it's not, we don't have to just look at Yeshua to see that. We can look at him throughout the scriptures and see how he is a personal God. And I really do believe the more we do that, he will apply his word to your life, and you will see him to be Yahweh, ever revealing of himself. And we've gone, I know, a long time today, but I love it. This is worship. It's not just song. It's not just hearing from the word. Together as a body today, we were able to worship. And I just encourage you guys to do this more. Find ways in your small groups, maybe, or maybe just set aside a time. We're going to do a campfire, and we're just going to talk about God. Remember when he parted the Red Sea? Remember when he did this or whatever? I actually was going to have Troy Jones lead what would be our prayer time as just a response time to that today, but I think I'm going to let him off the hook in the interest of time so we can close out with song and celebration of our Lord. But again, take time to celebrate him. Make known his works, declare his works, because in that we find joy and satisfaction. So let me close this as prayers in prayer as we lead into our song service here. Father, you have revealed yourself in such tremendous ways. And Lord, we do see all of this. We see, yeah, the wrath parts, the scary parts of things, but it's also your discipline. And we see that our days are numbered. And I guess, Lord, thank you. I mean, if you didn't discipline us, we would waste our days. And I thank you for that. The times that you become angry and disciplinary, Lord, it is out of love. It is still out of love for us, and we thank you for that. But God, we thank you for all you've revealed yourself to be, and I pray that you continue to reveal yourself to us through your word. And as we continue this study, but also just as we study through your word, Lord, and just unite our hearts around your throne today as we praise, and we just come before you, God, in thanksgiving. In your name we pray. Amen.